Hey, I'm Sean.
Hi, and I'm Shannon.
And we're the hosts of Wifey and Baby Mama. Happy Thursday, family. Welcome back. Your favorite two co-hosts have missed you, and it's getting more real as the countdown to the end of season three gets near. But to keep your mind off that negativity, okay, we've made your guest line of fire. And tonight, we're setting it ablaze again. With us to discuss tonight's topic, the power of steps, is Mrs. Adria Swain, BSW, MBA, and the director of permanent support housing for Matt Urban Centers. I had the pleasure of meeting this amazing.
Yes.
We have to celebrate all that, right? I had the pleasure of meeting this fireball, doing some work we were doing in the community. And I just knew she'd be a perfect candidate for tonight's episode after we talked for a little while. And Adria, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and some of the wonderful things that you do to make this community and city a better place?
Sure. Well, ladies, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the invite.
No problem.
So, in my full-time position, working for Matt Urban, which is a nonprofit, I oversee a couple of supportive housing programs, as you mentioned. And in those programs, we house chronically homeless individuals. So, one of my programs houses all women. Another specializes in people fleeing intimate partner violence. We have one program that specializes in veterans, and then another one that is dedicated to it's a crossover. We have families, which houses six families, and then there are some dorms style for all men. And then since we met, I also picked up a part-time position working for UB because I am a full-time graduate student. So I am the graduate assistant for our diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility dean. I do that part-time, and then I am also working a little bit on the side, helping a friend of mine work on the back end through Fostering Greatness, which is a nonprofit organization Leah Daniels started, just helping her on the back end with just some consulting work, paperwork, intake forms, things like that. And then I am a single mom of one young man who turned 20 yesterday.
Yay! Happy birthday!
Thank you, ladies. And other than that, I don't know. I do a little bit of yoga just to kind of take care of self-care.
Even all
at
that
home.
Out, huh?
Yep, even all of that out. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Wow, that's a big shift.
Yeah.
Shannon, girl, now that
coconut
blows
shell,
your mind,
coconut
right?
shell,
right. Now, doesn't that blow your mind every time we meet somebody busier than us, right? I want to know, like, are they superhuman? Because I'm just hanging on, okay? And she got me beat by a long shot. So our guest last week mentioned the term serial entrepreneur. That's what I like to think of myself as, honey. She just put me to bed. But, honey, good child, Adria. You got my love and respect, okay? But seriously, thank you for all that you do for the people who sometimes have no voice or no choice in their situations. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to discuss tonight the power of steps. What we're going to talk about is not really career related, but family, which is what, you know, our show is geared towards. And you know a lot about that, you know, from just explaining your background just now. Mm-hmm. And when we're referring to the power of steps, we're referring to dads, guys, not ladders. Now, y'all know I like to make these titles fun, and, you know, put a little twist on it. Keep you guessing. Right. But that's not the case tonight. It's exactly what it is in this episode. We're going to discuss how stepdads are often behind the beauty of daddy-daughter dances, being your first date, to being the first to give you flowers, you know, or how I'd love to dance with my father again. My stepdad was, he was my emotional go-to. And Adria, from our conversation, it kind of feels like that's the same for you. Would you share some of that with the audience for us?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I don't look at my father at all as a step anything. My father is my father. In third grade, took his last name because he has always been the father I've known. And even though I have met the man who biologically made me, there is nothing that can ever replace my father in my life. My father was the first person, as you said, teaching me what it looked like for a man to show up for a woman, showing up whenever there was an issue at school with a teacher. He exemplified what a man is, and I think that is very much why I am very particular about who I date and who I even can see as a potential mate. He just is very old school and raised me to look for a certain aspect and quality in a man.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So,
Yeah, I love
Adria,
that.
Shannon, now go ahead, Shannon.
No, I was just saying, I love that. And I've touched on, even with my stepdad a couple of times on the show, but I never give him the proper credit, only because, well, not gonna make disclaimers or whatever, but my relationship with my biological father was so strong. But I do have to give a lot of credit to my first stepfather. I gotta say my first. If any of you listened, I have more than one stepdad, but the first one was the one that raised me. So, yeah.
Right. So that's what I was going to say, Shannon and I both have biological fathers that we adored. However, our parents choosing to go their separate ways is how we got introduced to the world of stepdads. And like you said, you lose the form step. That's the proper term that's, in the world. But like you just said, when the love is so strong, we that you know how they say a letter becomes silent? That step becomes silent. Their love is so loud. You understand? And that's amazing. But we remain really close to our fathers in spite of. And I mean, I just heard you say when you say I love to dance with my father again, that applies only to your stepdad. And I just want to know and asking just for the audience, if you don't mind breaking it down, when your mom married your stepdad, that did you choose not to keep a close relationship to your biological father, or was it his absence that caused that?
So, my bio dad, which I it's even hard for me to verbalize it that way. He chose to be an absentee father.
Okay.
At the age of maybe 19, because grandparents were passing away, I reached out to his mother. And that is how we initiated a relationship. Although I had met him around the age of 12, we still did not have any form of a relationship. And I have heard stories that it was because he was very touch and go early on, and when my father and mother, so Lee Swain, who was my father, when he got involved with my mother, that was before I was even born. So there was never a if, and, or but about it. I was always his from the beginning. So when I found out that there was even another person in the picture, it was because I stumbled across the information in one of those baby books, the little memory books.
Okay.
And when I stumbled across it was because his name had been whited out, and I'm a little bit older, so the pages are like a manila color, not white white. So I asked my mother about it, and at that point I was probably about 10. And it was
Okay.
just a conversation that we had at that point. It wasn't even much to pry. It didn't even faze me much because of the presence my father had in my life at that point. And when I say my father again, that would be my stepfather. So it wasn't much for me to question. And then one day I went to my first beauty salon appointment because I was about to turn 13. My mother took me to an appointment, and my bio father was in the salon with his then girlfriend and my 2-year-old sister. And he happened to, as I was closing the door, start talking to my mother, and I heard this man speaking. And as I came around the corner, he just said, "Oh, so you must be Adria, and this is your sister." So matter of factly, without any other inkling prior to that of his own to even acknowledge my presence. And as I mean, and maybe he has a different version of his story, but he's never told me anything to the contrary. And for the first time, that was my first time laying eyes on him, being introduced to the fact that I had a sibling by him. And then I happened to stumble across him later on that same day. And then there was nothing for years until, again, like I said, I was 19 and I reached out to his mother. And as a result of that, it just so happened he was getting married within that month. And then it was, "Oh, baby girl, show up to my wedding." And that was 7 years later.
Him
And
asking you
then
to show up to the wedding?
Absolutely. He was getting married to the woman. I met that day in the salon. My little sister's mother, they were getting married years later, and he asked me to show up. He wanted me to be present. So leading into going to his wedding, I tried to show up. I believe it was like a Labor Day or something close to his wedding, but also a holiday, just to try and make some form of, I don't know, introduction to each other. So it wasn't completely awkward showing up to a wedding. And even sitting there that day, it was very awkward because it felt forced on his
Wow.
So, I mean, I had a sister, so I focused on the attention of having a younger sibling there and trying to build that bond. And I think that is what has even kept any kind of relationship lingering, is because she and I do have a very close relationship.
It is just
one sister that I have that he had with her mother. Her mother has a child that is not by him. And she does not have a strong relationship with him, so I don't have any connection to that young man. I do have two sisters, one by my father, who has raised me, and my mother. They have a child. And then my father, who would technically be my stepfather, also has another daughter who is his stepdaughter, just the same. And all three of us look at each other as sisters. And so my biological sister, by my father, also has a relationship with those two sisters. So all of us consider each other sisters.
Wow. Awesome.
Right. And my cousins, I think
pretty much all of the family looks at my biological father's daughter as family. We don't look at it any differently. It just is what it is with him. He actually just drove by me 2 weeks ago moving her, and I was like shocked. Who was just pulling up on me? And of course, luckily she was in the passenger seat, so it wasn't super awkward, but he's asked to build a relationship with my child. My son is very much me in a male form. And is like, why does Pop-Pop know? Which is what he, you know, acknowledges my father as. And it's just pretty much, no, it has never been an opportunity where my son has wanted to even get to know this man. It exists.
I tried to say, hey, why didn't you contact me? Why, you know, did you ever attempt that? Or was it just always a silent?
I won't say it was silent. It's almost like an unspoken conversation, because every time the conversation has been attempted,
but that's what I meant. Unspoken. Yeah. That's a better word.
It turns pretty bitter very fast. And it is because, in the past I have had a conversation, because it has always been presented that my mother is the reason why we don't have a relationship. And that has never been the case. At least from my standpoint, it has never been the case that my mother has ever put a wedge between us. My mother never really even acknowledged history until I went asking questions. So had it not been for me being a nosy child, it wouldn't be much for me to know. And even with that, my mother never chose to speak poorly on the situation. She never felt like it was worth acknowledging, because my father has always been there. They got married when I was 6, but they had been together, like I said, from the time that she conceived me, because they were in a relationship prior to me being conceived, and then they broke up for a period of time. She got pregnant, and then they got back together. So it was always known that I was not his, but he never allowed it to be a moment where I felt like I wasn't his.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you never experienced any type of, you know, what am I missing here? You know?
Absolutely not. I think awesome. I will say this. I did not realize how much resentment and anger I held. Because for me, having my father in my life was always great. I never felt like I lacked anything. But the resentment came in because they being my biological father and his mother, every opportunity that there came, they spoke so negatively about my mother, there came resentment. Knowing that there were opportunities given to him to be present, and he just stayed away. So he was invited to my 8th grade graduation, and I went to a very prestigious high school in Buffalo. So I went there from 5th grade all the way through high school. And he was invited. Mm-hmm. His mother was invited as well. They didn't show up. There were multiple opportunities where he dropped the ball, I felt. So there came the resentment. So through the years, I think
it took me a while to even
understand that there was some anger there. So when the conversation mm-hmm. was finally had after I moved away, my sister came and visited, and then she opened up about feeling she had some anger maybe or some hurt towards me because she felt like there should be more of a relationship with me and her dad. And I had to explain my perspective on it because she didn't know how many opportunities he was given. So mm-hmm. we all sat down at one point and had a conversation, me, her, him, and his wife. And I still, at that point, didn't feel like it was on his part. It was more because the women mm-hmm. in his life chose to try and force this relationship. So, I mean, yeah. at this point, we speak and it's cordial when we see each other. What bothers me is that he still calls me baby girl. And for me, I've always only acknowledged him as a sperm donor.
Okay. Wow, that's deep. I think do you ever say it?
Go ahead. Yeah. Jimmy. Yeah. Do you ever feel like you could, you know, sit down and talk to him about, you know, what you feel and, you know, don't call me baby girl or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. do you ever feel like you could have that type of dialogue with him, or would it even be worth it?
So I don't think for me, I'm not opposed to it. Do I feel like it means anything or I need that closure or anything to that effect? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I think if he needed that, or if he was ready to initiate without an audience, I would be open to that. But I feel like the amount of opportunities given to him, we lived around the corner from each other, literally around the corner from each other, as me being an adult mm-hmm. with a child. And there were multiple opportunities. His grandchild, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't until we started seeing the accolades on social media. Oh, she got a master's. Oh, you know, she graduated from this private school. Oh, my grandson is being like recognized for basketball. Then he wanted to start building a relationship, or at least that's how it felt. So for me, I'm not going to ever ice him out, but I don't lack for anything. And I feel like
there have been multiple openings. Even when
I lived out of state, he reached out to me and said he was going to send a card or something to that effect for my birthday. Never got it. Never heard from him until my sister came to visit me.
Wow. Okay. That's deep. And I think that's sad under any circumstances, because there's no reason for our blends not to be happy, you know? And like you said, mm-hmm. with the opportunities given with your mother, I could see if your mother was saying, like, I don't want him around. But when you became an adult, mom no longer is in play, you know? Right. Now you have a choice. And and that's why Shannon and I do the work that we do here, to try and deter this kind of behavior, because it affects a kid for a long time. Even as an adult, you can still hear the pain in your voice. Now, you had a father that was there. You don't lack for anything, but it's just a point that, you know, you're my father. It still leaves a void of saying, like, why didn't you want me, adult or not? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
What I will say, and what I've acknowledged even recently to my younger sister, his daughter,
is that I've seen him love on so many other children, adopted, neighborhood children, her best friends. So it always made me wonder what was different. That part, I will say, I've acknowledged. I would definitely be open to that conversation. But I feel like the hurt that it would cause on the other side is too great when it comes to both my father and my son, because my son's relationship with my father is so, so seriously deep, because his father was murdered. He was part of a mass shooting here in Buffalo. So his relationship with his grandfather and the way his grandfather has showed up for him beyond me, I would never want to blemish that relationship either.
Right. That's amazing. Yeah, you got to be careful to protect that, because if you disturb that, then his emotions become, you know what I'm saying? Then your emotional issues become his. So it's very important to protect that. And I'm so happy to hear you say that, because some people are so concerned with their own closure, their feelings, you forget about the child. What would that do to your son? You know, to have to maybe make him choose. You know, you don't ever want to create that. So I definitely respect that. I mean, as I watch my 16-year-old, her biological father, like, worship the ground she walks on. And he feels mm-hmm. the same about her. Yet it doesn't undercut the love and respect she has for her stepdad, which is my husband. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, and I remember teasing her when I, you know, her father flew in one summer to pick her up and take her back home with him. And I said, what would you do if your dad and stepdad got into it? She said, I would run away. Mm. I was laughing so hard because she said, Mom, I wouldn't want to choose. And I know I wasn't a good mom in that moment, but it was just something I wanted to know. Like, how does where does it lie? Like, do we need to choose here? Like, mm-hmm. do I not need to take him with me? Like, mm-hmm. would you be uncomfortable? She's like, no, Mom. And then I mm-hmm. asked, well, when you get married, which father are you going to dance with first? And she said, both at the same time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I think it's admirable that she loves her stepdad that way, even though her father is mm-hmm. ever present and always have been. And mm-hmm. see, your son, it would be different if granddad, biological, would have presented himself to the situation, and, you know, right. made himself known, and mm-hmm. then it wouldn't be a question. Mm-hmm. But I totally get what you're saying, because you have been absent, because you haven't been around. Now mm-hmm. you don't want to make the baby uncomfortable, even though he's absolutely. Not a baby. He's not a grown man.
Yeah.
But he's your baby. But he'll always be your baby. Yeah. Trust me,
absolutely.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Shannon.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to ask my partner if she had anything else. Go ahead, Adrian.
I just say in closing, I have seen hints of sadness sometimes on my dad's face when I've even mentioned, but I've been very transparent with my dad when I run into my bio father. So just to fill him out, because I don't ever mm-hmm. want it to be like I'm sneaking around. So
that's a fact.
He is definitely open to if that's what we want to do. So we've had that conversation amongst my family. If that's what you feel like you need to do, if that's what y'all want to do, okay, so be it. But it's never been anything that bio dad has pursued enough for it to be a concern.
Wow.
And I will be 41
in May.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that is wonderful, Adria, to hear. Yeah, that mm-hmm. You know, those of us that have had stepdads, and it sounds like, you know, at least the three of us, we had positive, you know, experiences with mm-hmm. our stepfathers. And that's something folks out there can, you know, think about and say, you know, if, as they're contemplating, women out there contemplating, you know, marrying someone, and when the biological father's not in the picture, or even if he is in the picture, you know, how to ensure that these children have healthy relationships with their stepfather and the stepfather with their children. And so when you're looking at the mate that you're wanting in your life, you want to, you know, think about that and, you know, hope you have the outcomes that, you know, sounds like the three of us have had with our step parents. And like I said, I had my first one, of course, that raised me up until 16. And then I had another one, you know, in my late teens, and that I was very, very close with as well. So two very, very wonderful stepfathers. And, you know, it's the luck of the draw, I guess, or God's blessing on our lives, you know, are mm-hmm. very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. Well, Adria, do you have any more last thoughts before we wrap up and go into our next segment?
I'll just echo the sentiment that I definitely feel like it's God's blessing on my life. I was blessed with such a wonderful, not only stepfather, but he's one of, or was one of, seven men, like brothers, and all of his brothers, they just are all stand-up men, and they all looked out for us and never looked at us any differently, because my dad's brother has a daughter, very similar situation. So yeah, we've just had very blessed lives.
I think that's amazing, and I think that's awesome, and kudos to you, Father. We're going to leave the step where it is and silent. Kudos to you for being a man, and we could use more men like you, and we hope someone that may be listening to this who may not have a relationship with your child, we encourage you to fix it. Older, younger, fix it mm-hmm. because it is important. Adria, you stated you were what, almost 41 years old or 41 years old. It's mm-hmm. a real thing. And that hurt can be a real thing. So if we can make it better, let's make it better. Shani, have yeah. anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah. And to the stepfathers out there, bonus parents, as we like to call them nowadays, not step, we use bonus father or father. Hopefully you feel appreciated, and hopefully you recognize the value that you're adding to these children's lives. And absolutely. Whether the biological father's involved or not, you're a piece of the pie, what I call a piece of the pie in that child's life. So don't ever feel like, you know, you can't be heard or validated or do more, or you have to take a step back, you know. Just know that when that child grows up to be the ages that we are, all three of us are here today, we will look back in fondness, with great fondness and love, on what you've added and how you've enriched our lives. So kudos to all of you.
Kudos to all of you. I'm going to just wrap up a little differently tonight. I'm just going to wrap up with a quick story. My 16-year-old was best friend. One of her best friends was having a sleepover. And of course, you know, I asked, what's the family dynamic? She says it's her mom, siblings, and stepdad. And I'm like, well, what energy is the stepdad giving? And she's like, what do you mean? I said, is it giving creepy? Like, you know, what is it giving? She said, oh, no, mom. He's just like my stepdad. And I said, what do you mean? She said, until I tell people, no one knows he's not my real father. And that spoke volumes to me, as I stated earlier. Mm-hmm. Love should be so loud that it kills the silence. It silences the step. And no matter if the kids are biological or not, they should feel that love just as big, just the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we'll go off into our audience invite. The title of last week's song was We Are Family by Sister Sledge. And the topic was family collaboration versus competition. Now, y'all better know what that one is. I mean, I don't care if black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian. Y'all better know, right. Sister Sledge, we are family.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
One of my favorites, honey. But if you don't, and if you want to get to listen, if you want to get to know Sister Sledge and We Are Family, the lyrics, download it and listen to it in its entirety. And if you're feeling that song or can guess the title of the song to tonight's lyrics that I dropped during this episode, please hit us up. This is your official invite to email us at wifeyandbabymama@gmail.com. And that's wifeyandbabymama@gmail.com. Now we'll go on to our fictional family.
All right. And actually, tonight, normally I would have a fictional family, but this topic moved me so much for a number of reasons, not just because of my own relationship with my stepfather, but I just had a really, really close friend, a friend of 25 years, pass away. And it's been weighing on me, of course. But the reason why it relates so much to tonight is she has a daughter, a 14-year-old daughter. And when she got pregnant with her daughter, the father, the biological father, was like, oh, heck no, you better have an abortion. I don't want this child. And she says, no, I'm not going to do that. So he left. He took off. He left the state and everything. Nowhere to be found. Well, I'm sure eventually she found him via the court system, but he didn't want anything to do with the daughter. She met a guy when her daughter was about two. I'll call him Dre. She met Dre, and he not only fell in love with her, but he fell in love with her daughter. And he immediately became that girl's father, the father that her father did not want to be. And I would look at the Facebook posts of him doing the, you know, daddy-daughter dances, Mm-hmm. Yes, all of them, all the games and the holidays and just being a wonderful person that he didn't have to be. That wasn't, you know, because of his love for my friend, you know, he fell in love with the daughter as well. And then when my friend got sick, she got cancer. She passed away from cancer, and it was very sudden. I mean, she was diagnosed and died within less than a year. There was no hope. And not only did he vow to, of course, his daughter that he considered his, because she's 14 now, you know, when my friend passed. But he wanted her, his daughter, to know that no matter what, her mother would not be forgotten, and that he would never try to replace her. Not saying he's going to be, I don't know, single or celibate. It's too soon to tell. But right now he's feeling like, I don't want to bring another woman into her life right now. I just want to be her everything, so that she's able to heal and we're able to heal together. And seeing how he stepped up, not only when he, you know, came into the relationship with my friend, but seeing how he stepped up even now after she's gone at such a young age, it just speaks volumes about how wonderful a stepdad, bonus dad, real dad, whatever you want to call him. And of course, my friend's daughter only knows him as dad. She didn't know her biological father, never met him, never seen him, never nothing, because he disappeared and said, no, I don't want her. I don't want anything to do with this life at all. So she only knows him, but she does know that he's not her biological father. They didn't hide that from her. But it doesn't matter to her, because he has been her everything, as if he really did birth her, and no different from, you know, his other children that he had from a previous relationship, nothing. And it just brought tears to my eyes, of course, and still does, you know, when I look at their pictures now, and look how he's holding her up. Because, you know, you're 14, losing your mother, and your life is changed forever. So instead of a fictional family, I said, let me do a non-fictional family and talk about, you know, my dear friend, and I will miss her for forever. But I'm so proud of the husband that she chose. To be there. And so for those who are listening, when you do choose that spouse, don't just think of you when you have children, when you're trying to blend a family. And a lot of us do get caught up. I'm sure Sean and I could tell you stories about when we were younger, you know, you dated somebody for whatever reason. But knowing now what we know and how to communicate, you know, just our experiences from life, think about your children and what will be best for them. And in this case, I have to say, my girl, she chose the right man, because even after she's gone, her child is well protected, well taken care of, because her dad, I won't say stepdad, her dad is there for her, holding her up, and keeping her mother's memory alive. And that is the non-fictional family I am feeling tonight.
That's a beautiful contribute to your friend. I'm probably saying it wrong because I'm country.
But
tribute.
It's
beautiful. Yeah. And it's
tribute.
It's a contribute.
That's a beautiful tribute to your friend and a beautiful testament to the power of steps.
And Adria, I know that you can agree with that from the story you have with your own dad.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies, this has been a wonderful conversation tonight. Adria, we want to thank you so much for joining us. As you told us in the beginning of the show, your life is pretty busy and full. So thank you for taking the time to sit with Wifey and Baby Mama. What you do and what you've been through is so, so powerful to this platform, because we like to bring out blended families, how important they are and how successful they can be. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hi, lady.
Thank you so much, and come back anytime.
Absolutely.
And
anytime that schedule will let you.
right.
Between semesters or something.
Right. And once again, to all of our listeners around the globe, we thank you so much. And as we're growing, even in the U.S., you know, we are over half of the country now in the United States, which is, a welcome, or we're sending a great welcome to all of those who listen. And we look forward to this every week. So we welcome you back to next Thursday and the next episode of Wifey and Baby Mama.
We have 4 more left. You guys better like and subscribe. We thank you for your support. I love you all. Till next week.